Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 16 in this series, mini-series, the final one about the nature of God. Last time we were in John chapter 8 in verse 4e, where Jesus Christ was telling his own people, imagine that, the Creator, the Savior, the Deliverer, the King of Israel, the husband of Israel, is arguing here with his own wife, debating with them certain issues and showing an awful lot of his nature and character, of his mercy, of his patience, of his long-suffering with them. There's no lashing back on his part, no hatred, no malice, no wrath, as other people would have done. And so he says to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. So whatever Christ told his disciples, whatever was recorded, it's not something that he invented as a new religion, but he received it from his father, Elohim. There are two of them, you see. One was on earth, one was in heaven. And so he says, Abraham did not do this. And in essence, he told them that they really did not either serve God nor love God, and certainly because of that, they did not love him, as he said in verse 42, if God were your father, that means if you really worshipped him, that's what he means by that. Of course he's their father. He's the father of all of us. But he said, if God were your father, if you served him, that is, in truth and in spirit, you would have loved me. You see, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. I came from Elohim. And he's not talking about the pagan concept, God three in one, no God two in one, since he's on earth. He's speaking only about the Father. He is the Son of the Father. The Father dwelt in him. There are only two beings here. And that's all is that is being repeated and stated and explained and revealed time after time after time by Jesus Christ, by his prophets, by his apostles. You see? But when the pagans with their own agenda had their own concepts and ideas, they were not about to listen and pay attention to any of this and doubt and question and examine their own pagan ideas. Oh no. Instead of that, they totally forgot all these things, willfully rejected them, you see, and imposed their doctrine and their pagan concept when they were able to do so later on, a few centuries later, on their whole followers, you know, the whole congregation at the time, all the churches at the time. And gradually they forced all of them to accept it, and then generations were raised after the other, knowing only this lie, believing its truth. And they were reading all these lies into the Bible, twisting, perverting, dementing what they were reading in their ignorance, wrestling with the scriptures to their own destruction, as Peter would say. Of such men who are unlearned and ignorant in the Word of God. Yet Christ made it very plain. There are only two of them. He proceeded from God. And so he says, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. It's not they sent me, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. No, he sent me. There's only one. He acknowledges only one person. No more than that. And then we read in verse 46, he says to his people, which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. If you are of Elohim, the Father, that person, you will hear his words. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of Elohim, spiritually speaking. You see? In other words, when people are rejecting the truth, the word of God, and they would rather cling to their own lies and deceptions and fables mixed with the truth, people like that really do not hear God. And to begin with, the reason why they don't hear God, they're blind and God hasn't opened their minds and eyes and didn't give them a new heart and a new spirit, you see, in order to make it possible for them to hear God, to understand, to see. So they're blind and deaf and their heart does not understand. That's as simple as that. And so he says, I do not have, you know, the claim that he's got a demon, he's a Samaritan, you've got a demon, you know, that's foolish. Talking, of course they don't know what they're talking. They're confused about it, they don't know what they're talking about. And so he says, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father. He didn't say, I honor, you know, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. That's my Father, only one person. So he's always referring to God as only one person who is his Father, and he's his Son, and he came from him. And whatever he says is what the Father told him. He does not invent anything new. And he told him that he's not seeking his own glory. There's so many other statements like that he made, but, you know, the blind remains blind, and they choose to be that way. And then we go to verse 54, where he says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, him and me and him, two of us. No three there. There's never any mention of three. Only two, and that's the only equation in the nature of God. The one that is known as the Father, you see, he is Elohim, and the one that is known as the Son, he is also an Elohim. So you can say God the Father, God the Son, but there is no such a thing as God the Holy Spirit, unless you're of the mold of the pagan religion that is mixed with some truth and believe in it. And so that's what he told them. And of course, people still will do their own thing, believe their own doctrines, follow their own churches, until the day when God confronts them and they will find out that they were not really of him. And then we read in chapter 9, in verse 3, Jesus still continues to talk to his disciples when his own disciples ask him about a certain person that was blind. Whose fault was it? Was it his parents or somebody else? He says, no, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God, speaking by the Father, should be revealed in him. And then he adds, I must work the works of him, one person who sent me. That's his Father. While it is still day, the night is coming when no man can do any work. You see? So, well, there is still an ability, a possibility to do it for him and for his disciples. As long as God allows it, people must, the servants of God must preach the truth. Whether, you know, people around them, you know, with all the deceptions, believe it or not, that's a different story. That's their own problem. It's not the problem of God or his servants or, you know, when he comes in the flesh himself. And then we read about the blind himself when he was confronted by the leaders. And he too, he speaks about God, one person, and then he speaks about Jesus Christ, the one that healed him. As it says in verse 29 in chapter verse 29, chapter 9, he says, we know that God, speaking about the Father, because that's the only person that the Jews know, one person, they don't know any Trinity, you see. So when he says the Father, the God, Elohim, he always speaks only about the Father, you see. They worshipped in his temple, the temple of God, the temple of the Father. And Christ said about that temple, this is my Father's house. You see, in the third person or second person or whatever. Is Christ on this earth? He's the Son of God. He is God. He's the King of Israel, the God of Israel. And there is a Father in heaven. And so this blind man says to the leadership that you would have known better, we know that God spoke to Moses. How did he speak to Moses? You see, the one that descended on Mount Sinai was Jesus Christ. As Paul makes it very plain. Yet, when Jesus Christ came on Mount Sinai, even then he was not speaking his own words. It's the Father that was doing the speaking through him. You see? That's what he's saying here. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. Now, this is what the Pharisees are saying in essence. And the man replies to them, that, you know, such a thing is a marvelous thing. As it says in verse 31, now we know that God does not hear sinners. Elohim, our Father, the King of Israel. You see, the ultimate King of Israel who sent Jesus Christ to deal with them on a personal basis. As Moses recorded, that when they cried to God, being in Egypt under bondage and affliction, they cried to Elohim, and that's the one that is called the Father, the El Elyon, the Most High. He sent them his angel. And his angel came and appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And then we are told that this angel is also the Eternal. And he said that he was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and he was the direct one. You see, but he never meant by that there is nobody higher than him who was the ultimate God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of humanity. You see? So that knowledge was there of the two beings always. It was taken for granted. There was not an issue. The only issue is that person standing in front of us in the flesh? Is he the second being in the divine family? You see? And many Jews believed it. Yes, he is the one. They knew he was the Son of God, the Son of David, the King of Israel. Others were blinded and they did not know. That's what the whole issue was all about. There was no issue there whether there are two divine beings or not, or there is only one single entity called God. That was not the issue, you see. And as time went by, it became an issue because people did not understand to begin with what was happening at the time because they were blinded even more so than they were before on both sides. And so this man replies, now we know that God, Elohim the Father, does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. You see? And so forth. And then in verse 35, Jesus Christ meets this man because he was cast out, and he asks him, do you believe in the Son of God? See, the Son of God is also God, because all of us are sons of God, but we're not God, we're not Elohim. Even though God called us Elohim, but we are not literal Elohim. Jesus Christ was. He was with him. He became his son. He was begotten by him. And he was going to be born as the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead to be a spirit being, Son of God. And so he says, do you believe in the Son of God? Again, showing two personalities there, he and the Father and he. You see? And nobody else in between there. We go to chapter 10, and we read in verse 15, verse 15 to 18. Jesus Christ is speaking here, as the Father knows me, again, the Father and me, just two of us, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep that I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. You see? And there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reality is that there are many who claim to be the followers of Christ, claim to be his sheep, the sheep of his pasture, and they are not because they do not hear his voice. They hear the voice of the pagan world out of which they came. They hear the voice of the churches, of their leaders, not of God. They are not of God. All these people that will appear before Christ, and Christ will tell them, I never knew you. And so he speaks about the ones who really believed, who were called by the Father and given to Jesus Christ to live his life in, and they do not believe all these lies, and Trinity is just one of them. Therefore, he says, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. So when people accuse the Jews of being Christ killers, they're not taking into account what is it that is really happening here. Whose idea was that for Christ to come in the flesh and live on this earth and give his life? For God so loved the world, and they know that he gave his only son. You see? Nobody could kill Jesus Christ if the Father did not intend for it to be so. So ultimately speaking, quote unquote, you don't blame the Jews, but you blame the Father himself. You see? The Father and the Son planned this whole affair and executed it and brought it to pass. Human beings were just instruments used by God. The devil was used by God to incite the hearts and the minds of the priesthood, you know, of Judas and some of the Jews that went along with it. And if God did not allow that, Satan could not have done it. You see? And if God did not cause it to be that way, there would be no Savior. Oh, it's all the part of the plan of God between the Father and Christ, and they planned it from the beginning, as it says about Christ in Revelation, that he was a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. The whole thing was done between these two divine beings, two and only two. And they executed it step by step. One was causing those things to happen, and the other was going through the process. You see, that's what he's saying here. I lay down my life. I'm doing it. Nobody can do it to me, as it told Pilate, you know. You think that he can crucify me? You just don't realize, in essence, he tells him, you have no power to do anything to me unless it has been given to you from above. You see? And yet the pagans, and that's what they are, they believe, can believe in Christ all they want and believe in some of his teachings. That doesn't mean anything to God. That's all they are in his sight. Idol worshippers. You see? They can call themselves all they want Christian, or the followers of Christ. They're not. They're not of his sheep. They don't believe him. They don't obey his law. They do not keep his Sabbath, his holidays. Many of the laws that he gave that are still enforced to this very day. They despise them. They speak evil of them. And yet they claim to be his people until judgment day, where he tells them, get out. I don't even know you. Never knew you. So you can continue to play your own games and believe that you are what you are not until you are faced with a harsh reality, you see, and you are being thrown out, not allowed in, because you are not a part of the flock, because the devil deceives the whole world. Now, if God doesn't call you, doesn't open your eyes, you're going to continue in your darkness and blindness. Nobody can help you, you see, until God opens your eyes and mind. But at least the seed must be sown, the sower must do his work, you see, and the Father is the ultimate sower, and then Jesus Christ, and then his disciples on this earth, and then his word that people read, and so forth. And it's only when the Father initiates the process and the calling that you are going to understand what you are reading, what you are being taught. Otherwise, hopefully in the future, you would remember that you have been taught when your eyes were not open yet, and then at that point you will be able to listen, to understand, and to believe. And so he makes it very plain. No one takes it from me, my life, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. The Pharisees had nothing to do with it. The priests had nothing to do with it. Rome had nothing to do with it. Ultimately, it's the Father and me. You know, they're just the instruments that we are using to execute this plan of salvation. You don't see Christianity, so-called Christianity, in the past many centuries, especially in the first many centuries, understanding that and believing it. Oh no, with venom and vengeance and hatred and malice and darkness, they went after the Jews as Christ killers. And many of them still do to this very day. At least they harbor hatred, malice, darkness, wickedness in their hearts, anti-Semitism and things like that. And their ignorance, being pagans to the core, oh, they call themselves Christians, they know nothing of the truth. And not of God, or else they would never behave in that manner. And so it says, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. God commanded Jesus Christ to go through the process. Christ went through it. And all those people around, they were just pawns, manipulated, you see, by God himself. He was pulling all the strings, not man. Not the devil, not Judas, not the high priest, not the Jews, you know, in the position of leadership, but only the Father himself. When you understand it, you glorify God, you worship God, even for the process through which Christ went through, you know, for us, that is, and see it from God's point of view. As I mentioned earlier, you sit on the seat of the director, and then you begin to see the entirety of the movie, you see, and people don't do it that way. That's one reason why the devil is able to come and throw dust in the air and deceive people, confuse people, throw them bits and pieces of the truth, and lead them astray. And this is what is happening to them. And so let's go to verse 25, where Christ continues, I told you, and you do not believe, speaking to his own people, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Again, you know, him and me, nobody in between. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, just like most people to this very day who call themselves Christians. They are not of his sheep. They think they are. You see, just like the Jews, so to the other people of God, spiritually speaking. And they went out. He said, you are not of your Father. You see, you are of another Father. And so are all the people on the face of the earth, the exception of the very few that God personally had called and is dealing with, and they are the little flock that he called them. Not huge conglomerate churches, you know, numbering in the hundreds of millions, and all put together, you know, there are about 2 billion of them. That's not the little flock of God. They're all mostly ignorant and blind to begin with. Most of them know nothing about their own religion, their own doctrines and teachings. You know, they just go through the motion. And so he says, in contrast to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They don't follow their teachers, they don't follow their churches, they don't follow their cardinals or popes or evangelists or ministers or whatever. They follow me, and I follow God. You see, he followed God, and that's the way it works. And so he says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Oh, their body may be destroyed because God is going to allow it, martyrdom, as he allowed his own son to go through the process. But it's all of God, so we must submit to the will of God. You see, whatever he wants us to go through, and realize that it is from him. And so, eternally, we know we're not going to perish. You know, we can die momentarily, like going to sleep, and then God is going to resurrect us. And so it says, they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You can destroy them, and he would allow it. Physically speaking, you hate them because they speak the truth, and it is contrary to what you believe. And you get angry because you are of another spirit, of your father the devil. That was happening, unfortunately, at the time also with his own people. You see? But, you know, you just can kill the flesh. That's neither here nor there for God. You know, he inhabits eternity. Whatever he kills or people kill, he brings back to life. So what have you accomplished by that? You just did, you know, the will of your father the devil if you persecute the people that speak the truth of God. And so he says, no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me. You cannot come to Christ and say, well, Lord, I like you. I heard the sermon. And now I give my heart to the Lord. And I start crying or, you know, walk down the aisle. You know, the aisle call, you know, the call to the altar, whatever they call it. And I give my heart to the Lord. It doesn't work like that. This is the pagan doctrine that is taught and believed to this very day. It doesn't work like that. The Father has to call you, open your eyes, you begin to understand his word, you begin to realize that you've been deceived and lied to by your church, or your churches, your background, your culture, deceived in so many ways. And then your eyes begin to open and you begin to have a personal relationship between you and the Father and Jesus Christ. You see, you know, it doesn't make any difference what man says. You know, they can call themselves by whatever title or rank they want. It doesn't work like that. God on a personal basis deals with you and you begin to hear the voice and you understand. And others think, you know, you are crazy and nuts or fool, you know, you went out of your rocker, so whatever. It's neither here nor there. You know the Father, he knows you, and that's all that counts. You see, when he gives them the spirit of sound mind and sanity, they too will understand. They're not going to make fun of you anymore at that time. Until then, don't worry about it. Don't lash back at them. Don't hate them. Don't speak evil of them. Love them as your own brothers and sisters, and understand the time will come when their eyes will be open too. Until then, you know, you have the attitude of Stephen, or you should. Father, forgive them, or lay it not to their charge. They don't know what they're doing, and so forth. That's what Christ said, that's what Stephen, that's what the men of God all said. And so, he says, nobody can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand, neither mine or my Father's. I and my Father are one. Not I and my Father and the Holy Spirit are one. Only two beings. And the two of us are one. One in what? In what way? Like Adam and Eve became one flesh. They were one, but they were two separate beings. You see, like a whole choir sings in unison as one, one voice. A whole nation united, a community or family, they're all one. That's what he's talking about. One in truth, one in spirit, one in doctrine. They're not divided, they're not confused, they're not all doing their own thing. That's the oneness he's talking about. You see, they're not talking about one entering inside each other like, you know, the demons do. You see, they enter inside human beings. And then you got a human being with a lot of demons inside him, or one demon. God doesn't do that. Demons do that. And this is what they taught people to believe. And so they think, well, you know, they're all those three people hanging inside one entity, whatever that is, they don't know. You see? So when he says, I and the Father are one, you have to understand what he's talking about. These things are spiritually discerned. If your mind is not open, you don't understand. So you go for the pagan superstition that is out there, and you believe, you know, they're three in one. You know, they come out of each other, and they go back, and so forth, and one comes down to this earth and dies on the cross, and the other one is still inside, you know, inside the other person, and then say, we don't understand it, you know, it's a mystery. Yeah, why, you know, be honest, acknowledge your insanity, that's all. Of course, insane people do not know that they are insane, so people don't do it. And so when the Jews heard it, they understood it only in one way. I and the Father are one. You know, what does that mean? Well, they knew exactly what it meant. And so they said to him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Why did they say that? Because when you say, I and my Father are one, you see, or as it says to them, I'm doing the works of my Father, you see, and you claim to be the Son of God, and you claim to be one with God, that means you are God. And that's the only way they can understand it. And so they accuse him of claiming, you know, that he's God. That's what they said. You make yourself God. Nobody says, I am the Father in one, you know, or I'm the Son of my Father. So again, they understand that they are two divine beings, but on the other hand, their eyes were not open to believe that this particular one is that second divine being of whom they knew all along. That was a part of their history and their culture and the religion that God gave them. But the two divine beings, you see, from the beginning of time, they've known it. And they just had a hard time, just his own disciples. They saw him perform the miracle. They knew that he is the Son of God. They knew that he is the Lamb of God. And then yet they still ask themselves sometimes, what kind of a man is that who can do things like that? Who is this man? You see, it's one thing to have the academic knowledge. It's another one to face that person and your mind cannot fathom, cannot comprehend, cannot understand, cannot digest this reality that you're standing right there before the very divine being that created the heavens and the earth. Your God, your maker, your ruler, the King of Israel. You see, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob sent from the Father. He's his angel, his messenger, he's the captain of the Lord of hosts and so forth. That was a problem there. A lot of people don't appreciate what is it that this unbelieving Jews had to go through, how difficult it was for them and for his own disciples. You see? And so he says to them in verse 34, and they, you know, the translators, because of the paganism, perverted the scripture here in the manner in which they wrote it. He says, is it not written in your law? That is the law that God gave them. It's not that they invented it. So when he says your law, he's talking about the law that he gave them. And he's not referring to the books of Moses. He's referring to Psalms, what he inspired David to say. And you can read it in Psalm 82 and verse 6, where he's quoting it. Is it not written in your law? I said, you are Elohim. You see? In all cases, Elohim, they translate to God. In this case, they put it in little g, not capital G, you see. Of course, they wanted to make a differentiation that he's talking here about the sons of God who also were called Elohim. But in any other place, when they refer to God himself, the person, they use the capital G. Well, there is no capital G or little g in the Bible. You know, that's invention of man for, you know, for his own self to differentiate between one and the other. But that's what he said here. I said, and God is the one saying it, speaking to David, inspiring David to write it. I said, you are Elohim, you sons of men, you are Elohim. Because when a father and a mother have a baby, what is that baby but a human being just like they are? You see? And that's what it means, you are Elohim. I am Elohim, you are Elohim. You're not a monkey, you're not an ape, you see? You're not a bird. I'm Elohim. You are Elohim. And I created you to be like me. As a father and a mother create a baby to be just like them. They're not interested in a dog. They can go to the store and buy a dog. No, they aren't interested in having a baby. You see, just like them. Now, this is a reality that, again, the pagan world does not believe, Judaism does not believe, but that's, you know, the rabbinic Judaism, biblical Judaism believed it and knew it and understand it, and understood it, that is, because that was in their law. Let us create men in our image and likeness. You are Elohim. You are the sons of God. You see, they knew the destiny and the hope and the future, but, you know, when the eyes are being blinded more and more and more, they too lose it. And so he's reminding them, what's the matter with you? You claim that, you know, I'm a blasphemer, making myself equal with God. You are yourself our God. You are Elohim. Only now you're in the flesh, just like I am in the flesh. But if we overcome until the end, obey God, have the very nature of God formed in us, have Jesus Christ, the God, you know, the Son of God, the Creator of men, the husband of Israel, formed in us, we will be born by the resurrection from the dead into literal divine beings, as Christ was. He is the firstborn of many brethren. As it said about his own father, in the midst of the congregation, I shall sing praises to you. You, the Father, I, Jesus Christ, the King of Israel, and in the midst of the congregation of Elohim. As it is in Psalm 82, verse 1, God sits in the midst of the congregation of Elohim, Be'adat El, congregation of El, the congregation of God. You see, they're all God. They're all gods, that is, plural, future, you know, reality, yes. But still, your fetus, that is, you know, in the womb of a mother, is already your child. You say, well, this is my child. You don't say, this is my fetus, you see, even though that child is not fully, you know, formed yet or born yet, you know. But a mother, as soon as she finds out, you know, she is conceived, she said, we're going to have a baby. You don't say, we're going to have a fetus or a monkey or a dog. That's how insane human beings are. They don't get simple things. Why? Because the devil deceived the whole world. And then they think that this is a blasphemy, just like the Jews in their confusion, the ones that did not understand, they thought that it was a blasphemy, and to this very day they're confused. In every given society that calls itself, you know, people of God, whether it is Judaism, Christianity, or Islam, they all consider that to be a blasphemy, as they did in the days of Christ. People haven't changed a lot because they still have the same father. They are willing to admit it or acknowledge it to begin with. They're not capable of doing it unless God opens their eyes. Then they begin to see, and that's what God told about his own people. When I open my eyes, when I bring you out of the graves, when you see all these things being done, and then you shall know that I am the Lord, and you're going to loathe yourself for believing all the lies and deceptions and fables and superstitions that you walked in, and yet you thought, you are the believers. Islam thinks, well, we are the believers, you're on the infidels. Jews think, we are the believers, all the rest of you are the infidels. The members of Christianity, the great whore, the harlots, they think, we are the believers and you are the infidels, and so forth. They're all playing these kind of games. You see? And they don't realize that they're all of the same spirit, of the same devil, of the same father. And they are not of God, or they wouldn't be talking like that. All human beings on the face of the earth are created in the image and likeness of God. If you don't treat them like that, it's because you really don't believe it. Academically, you may say it. You see? That's our problem. We're all sick, sick to the core. And we need healing, cleansing, purging. We need sanity. We don't have it. We are insane. Until God gives us His Spirit, the Spirit of a sound mind. Without it, you don't have it. That's the reason for the Trinity. There is no soundness in the mind of people who believe such insane things. And so they admit, it's a mystery, I don't understand it. Just admit that you're insane, that's all there is to it. And then go to God and believe what He says, just like Christ is saying here. And so you're all confused, you think it's a blasphemy when it says that in the law. Is it not written in your law, I said, you are Elohim? And if He called them Elohim, to whom the word of God came, the word of the Father, you see, and the scripture cannot be broken, God is going to do what He said He's going to do, create men in His image and in His likeness. And they will be Elohim, spirit beings, not only in the physical and the flesh. And so He says, if this is so, do you say of Him whom the Father sanctified? Only the Father can sanctify you. Only the Word of God can sanctify you. No church, no pope, no cardinal, no, you know, whatever, group of people get together and say, we're going to make you holy, or we're going to make this city holy. We call it a holy city. There's no such a thing. This is all charade. People play games. That's all it is. Only God can sanctify you. He determines whether you are a saint or not. And He does it if you walk by His law. As Christ said, praying to the Father about His disciples, sanctify them by your word. By your name. You see? That's how sanctification, that's how sainthood is achieved. Not by lawlessness, not by a group of people getting together and playing their game and deceiving people that, well, okay, now I proclaim him to be a saint. You know, most people, you know, were proclaimed to be saints and dead to begin with. They don't even know what's happening. Dead, you know, is a doorknob, totally unaware of it. And all this foolishness, that's what God said. When I open your eyes, bring you out of your grave, make you understand what you've been doing all this time, you're going to loathe yourself. You realize how foolish, how insane, how stupid you were. You see? Morons. And so much more so. Now we're not willing to admit it, you know, we prance around pretending to be high and mighty and great theologians and, you know, wise men and all those foolish things that all the pagan religions and all the priests always believed and you know, concocted in their own brains and deceived other people to believe likewise. That's all foolishness to God. And so he says, if you call, you know, if he called you, you know, in the law, he called you your gods, do you say of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? Because to say I'm the Son of God, that means I'm Elohim too. Not in the flesh, yes, but I'm Elohim. And he was going back to his divinity as he came from it. He says, I do not do the works of my... He said, if I do not do the works of my Father, it's by the Holy Spirit that we do all things. What does it mean? It's by the Father or by Jesus Christ. That's what it means by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit leads us to truth. That means God leads us to truth. That's all it means. It doesn't mean somebody else called God the Holy Spirit. You see? Yet insane people invent those kind of things and then believe them. They lie, and then they believe the lie. They say it so many times, and then becomes reality to them, becomes the truth. That's why God says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put light to darkness and darkness light, you know, and truth to error and error to truth and so forth. That's confusion, insanity, and people waste all their lives on insane religions and beliefs and convictions, and they fight for it and kill others for it and hate for it and all that in vain. And so it says, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me, but if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And as he said to his disciples, the Father will be in you, I will be in you, you will be in us. That's the Trinity. You see? The Father, the Most High, Jesus Christ the Creator, and the man that God creates in his image and likeness. You see? First beginning with the bride, and then they're going to have children, which are going to be all the nations of the earth. That's a family of God. That's a divine family of God that is going to be born in the future. All those written in the book of life, all those who do not reject it, that is, after God opens their eyes, before that, they're not capable of making a decision. So it doesn't count, you know, whether they reject it or not at that point. You're blind, you're blind. You're deaf, you're deaf. You know, you don't know, you don't hear. God is not... hold people like that responsible. As Christ said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. You see? That's not how the world looked at it. They went about to destroy, to kill, to maim, to rape, to hate, to produce anti-Semitism and all things like that because they were of their father, the devil, and they never knew it. One of these days, going to have a crash landing, you know, reality check, and their eyes are going to be opened. They're going to loathe themselves for the manner in which they behaved. And so Christ makes it very plain throughout all of his ministry of this reality of the two divine beings. And then we read in, there are many statements in between. You read the entirety of the book and, you know, once your eyes are open, you're going to see them. And you would see it time after time after time after time. It's Christ made it very plain. Let's go to chapter 11. We don't need to cover every single one of them. In chapter 11, and we read in verse 41, they took away the stones, speaking about the resurrection of Lazarus. They took away the stones because Christ told them, I'm going to resurrect him. They didn't believe him. He said in verse 40, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God, the glory of the Father, that one being that is up there and I'm down here. And so they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, and to whom is he speaking? Not to God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. There is no such a thing. He speaks only to the one and only divine person that was in heaven who was a divine being. All the rest are holy angels. And he addresses him. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you, Father, sent me. It's me and you. I used to be with you, now I'm here. There used to be two of us up there, now there is only one of you up there, and I'm down here. That's the only reality that was ever taught by Christ, by his disciples, by the prophets. You see, until the pagans came and took over, invented their own religion, called it Christianity, and claimed, well, you know, Paul was, you know, the founder of Christianity, and Christ, you know, gave us his teachings and so forth. All those were lies and deceptions, you see. And then most of their doctrines are pagan to the core anyway. They take the day of the worship of the sun, they make it the day of the Lord, they call it, you know, the Sabbath, and it's not. It's Sunday, the day of the sun, where the pagans worship the sun. They take the day in which they worship the goddess, the queen of heaven, Ishtar, Osiris, Isis, had many names in different places, and they made it Passover. There is no such a thing in the Bible. You see, God doesn't Easter over people, he pass over people's sins and iniquities. And they invent other, you know, and they take Saturnalia, a pagan ritual and holiday, and they decide, well, let's make Christ being, you know, born, claim that Christ was born on that day and celebrated as the birth of Christ, and they call it Christmas. He was not born anywhere around that time, as we made it very plain earlier in the book of John, that he was born around shortly before Passover, you see, just like all the little lambs that were offered on Passover time, you see, at the Passover ceremony, they were born shortly before the Passover. And he is the Lamb of God, born before the Passover. They were still very young. And according to the law of God, as God told them, that he, you know, the sacrifices they are going to bring to him, he said, well, for the first 7 days after they are born, not to touch them, let them, you know, feed on their mother's milk. It's cruelty to do it before that. But after the 7 days, they can bring them as an offering. So they generally were very young, either 7 days or a month, you see, or 2-3 weeks, or things like that. And for the Passover, the lambs of the Passover were born shortly before the Passover. And so was the Lamb of God. He was born before the Passover, and that's why when he began his ministry, he was about 30, almost 30, you see. And then when he really began his ministry, that was the Passover time. And shortly after he began his ministry, you read about the Passover, and he goes to Jerusalem, you see. You know, right after the wedding of probably his sister, because his mother was in charge. That makes it very plain why. And so that's, you know, the word of God is very plain to those who have eyes to see, but if you don't have eyes to see because God didn't open your eyes, well, obviously, you're not going to see, and you're going to continue in your own confusion. And that was the problem of some of these Jews here, no matter, you know, what they have known, what they have been taught, what the law said, that was neither here nor there for them. Others had their eyes opened. And so he is the second being in the divine family on this earth. He prays to his Father, the only one who's up there. Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, you see, but because of the people here who are standing, you know, they don't have that kind of faith, that they may believe that you sent me. It's you and me, period. Nobody else in between. And then later in chapter 12, he was telling his disciples in verse 27, chapter 12, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. You see, he's speaking only to the Father, one divine being, one single person, and he worshipped his God. And he says, Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Well, that's the plan. We planned it. You see, it has nothing to do with human beings. It just uses instruments. And then he said, Father, glorify your name. And then, you know, people heard a voice that came from heaven saying, I have both. I'm the Father, you're the Son, you're down here, you're speaking to me, I talk back to you. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And then we go to verse 44, where Jesus Christ cried out and said, speaking to the Pharisees, many other people like that, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. There are two of us. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. Because we're the same. We're the same religion. Why not, you know, of a different religion? He's the God of the Old Testament, another religion, and I'm God of the New Testament, a new religion. Oh, no. They're one. This is not what pagan Christianity teaches. They teach about two separate gods, two separate religions, you know, one with the strict laws of the Old Testament, in a harsh monster, God of wrath and blood and all that, and we have sweet little Lord Jesus, you see, love and faith and joy and mercy and so forth, grace. That's ignorance. Christ never taught that. The apostles never taught that. The prophets never taught that. This is the God of Israel speaking here in the flesh. And so he adds, I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. But if you believe in the fables and the lies about Christ, well, you're going to believe in fables and you're going to be in darkness. And you can think that you are in the light all you want. In verse 49 he adds, for I have not spoken of my own authority. It's not my religion, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should say what I should say and what I should speak. And he makes it very plain. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. And that makes it very plain. There is only one religion. And there are these two, the Father and the Son, are united in that religion. There is no separation there. But the blind and ignorant does not see it. Anyway, this is again Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until the next lesson.